Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of The Haunted School by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. This was suggested by a listener's dad, and he's like, yo, my son got this book, and he's into your podcast, and I'm like, he better be 18, and he's like, shut up, Dune, you're not a parent, and I'm like, touche. So I'm reading this one for him. It's The Haunted School. The cover of it has a locker with a bunch of shit spilling out of it. Not shit, but like locker stuff. And there's three eyes, or three sets of eyes, six eyes, watching. You know, if it was five eyes, it would be two people in Fetty Wap watching. But, yeah, it's got eyes in the dark of the locker, and it says, they're watching you learn the hard way. You know, because someone's learning the hard way, probably because they're on the autism spectrum. Not much has changed since the last time I recorded. Fiance is still in Salem, Massachusetts, presumably getting very spooky. I am trying to take care of the home and pets by myself. And the only big difference, actually, is I have a different recording setup here, which I use to record non-talking shit. So we'll see if this sounds any better, because the last couple were a little annoying, and right now there's a lot of background noise from the air conditioner and the dryer running with a couple loads of laundry. Anyway, The Haunted School. Let's dive into it, shall we?
Chapter one.
An invisible hand grabbed me and pulled me off the ladder. That's how it feels to be a woman in the business world. I landed on my back on the gym floor with an oof. My head made a loud thud as it banged the floorboards. I raised myself slowly, blinking hard, trying to shake off the shock. Then I pulled myself up on my elbows and saw Ben Jackson laughing. That's why they should call him Laughing Ben Jackson, but they probably don't. You know, we'll see if they do. Talia Harpert Rodas. Really? There's going to be hyphenated names? I already have enough problem with names. Dropped her lipstick into her bag and came running over to me. Tommy, are you okay? She demanded. Women always demanding. Yeah, fine, I muttered. I was just testing the floor, you know, seeing how hard it is. It isn't as hard as your head, Ben joked. You're going to have to pay for breaking the gym floor, he laughed again. That laughing Ben Jackson. Ha, ha. Talia rolled her eyes, then made a disgusted face at him. She turned to me. Don't encourage him, Tommy. He's about as funny as a dead pigeon or other podcasts that don't have me reading Goosebumps. I think dead pigeons are funny, Ben insisted. Talia rolled her eyes again. Then she grabbed my hand and tugged me to my feet. I'm going to turn down the volume a little bit on my recording, because it's getting close to clipping. Heyo? Heyo? Sorry, I'm looking at the levels. Turn it back up a tiny bit. I hope you can't hear all this. Well, you can hear me talking, obviously, but hope you don't hear the sounds of crackling. Oh god, I'm going to have to check this out. I better not re-record this. Anyway, the point was because I thought it was going to clip. Anyway. Da-da-da-da. Then she grabbed my hands and tugged me to my feet. I felt so embarrassed. I wanted to go hide under the bleachers. Why am I such a total klutz? No invisible hand pulled me off the ladder. I just fell. You hear that lesson, women? That's what I usually do if I find myself on the ladder. I fall off, just like Dune falls off the wagon. You hear that, Dune? And you're drinking? Some people are climbers. I'm a faller. I think that means he's a bottom. But I really didn't want to look like a geek in front of Talia and Ben. After all, I just met them, and I really wanted to impress them. That's why I signed up for the Dance Decorations Committee. That doesn't impress people. I wanted to meet kids. It's hard to make new friends when you start a new school in sixth grade. Maybe I'd better start from the beginning. My name is Tommy Frazier, and I'm 12. Just before school started this fall, my dad got married again. Ooh, maybe the dad kills all the wives. That's a twist. We'll see if that comes. And right after the wedding, we moved to Bell Valley. More like Bell End, if you ask me. We had to move so fast. That was a joke for our English listeners. I barely had a chance to say goodbye to my friends. And before I could catch my breath, here I was, the new kid at Bell Valley Middle School. I didn't know anyone here. I hardly even knew my new mom. Can you imagine what it's like to suddenly have a new school, a new house, and a new mom? The first couple of days at Bell Valley Middle School were hard. Every day at middle school is hard. Hey, for younger listeners that are 18, but hypothetically could be younger than that, but it's explicit, so don't be. Middle school is the worst time of your life. Then high school is not great, but then it gets better. Life's super rad now. I'm 29. I just like do things I want to and work a job I like and, you know, hang out with a girl I'm in love with. Everything's cool as hell. I'm going to take a sip of my booze because I can do that whenever. Kids weren't unfriendly, but they already knew who their friends were. I'm not shy, but it was really impossible to just go up to someone and say, "Hi, want to be my friend?" That's not how you do it. That's creepy. I was pretty lonely the first week or so. Then, last Monday morning, Mrs. Borden, the principal, came into our room. She asked if anyone would want to volunteer for the dance decorations committee. She needed kids to decorate the gym. My hand was the first to shoot up. You shouldn't shoot up in your hands. You shouldn't shoot up anywhere if you're listening. That's not a good plan. I knew it would be a great way to make new friends. So, here I was, after school in the gym 2 days later, making new friends by falling on my head like a geek. Do you think you should see the nurse? Talia asked, studying me. No, my eyes always roll around like this, I replied weakly. At least I still had my sense of humor. The nurse left anyway, Ben said, checking his watch. It's late. We're probably the only ones in the building. Want to make out or something? Either of you, I'm into anything. It's 2015. Talia shook out her blonde hair. Let's get back to work, she suggested. She opened her bag and pulled out her lipstick. I watched her apply a thick coat of red to her lips, even though they were already red. Already red. Forget it. Then she brushed some kind of orangey powder on her cheeks so she looked like Donald Trump. Ben shook his head but didn't say shit. Yesterday, I heard other kids teasing Talia about her makeup and lipstick. They said she was the only girl in sixth grade who uses that stuff every day. They were pretty mean to her. One girl said, "Talia thinks she's painting a masterpiece." Nyeh. Another girl said, "Talia couldn't go to gym class because she has to wait for her face to dry." As much as I was complaining about junior high, young girls are the most cruel people on the planet. But it makes sense. We're animals, and they're competing for their place in the food chain. Oh, well. Another girl said some other shit, and then a boy was all like, "Her face must be broken. That's why she's always fixing it." Everyone laughed really hard. Talia didn't seem to mind all the jokes and teasing. I guess she's used to it. Before school this morning, I heard some kids saying that Talia was stuck up, that she thought she was so beautiful, and that's why she was always paying so much attention to her looks. Isn't it normally the opposite, or if you're paying that much attention, you're really insecure and you don't feel great about yourself? I feel great about myself because I'm super good looking, so I just, you know, wear like sweatpants and like a wife beater, and I just go around eating fried chicken out of a jug, not a jug, a bucket. Jesus, I am bad with my units of measurement now. Let's just go on and forget about my fried chicken humor. She didn't seem stuck up to me. She seemed really nice. She was pretty awesome looking, too. I wondered why she thought she needed to wear all that makeup. Maybe her, like, family threw acid in her face because she showed her ankles in India. Tally and Ben look a lot alike. They could be brother and sister, but they're not. They are both tall and thin, and they both have blue eyes and curly blonde hair. I'm short and a little chubby, and I have black hair that sticks straight out like a straw. It's real tough hair. I could brush it for hours, but it still goes wherever it wants. My new mom says I'll be really handsome as soon as I lose my baby fat. I don't think that was a very good compliment. Why not? Just slim down a bit and you look great. Anyway, Talia, Ben, and I were painting some big banners to go up on the gym wall. Talia and I were working together on a banner that read, "Bell Valley Rocks!" How do you know Bell Valley Rocks? You've been there for like 10 minutes. It might be terrible. Ben started to paint a poster that read, "Dance Till You Puke!" Inspired by the Andrew WK song. But Mrs. Borden poked her head in and asked him to think of a better slogan. He groaned and grumbled and started over. Now his poster read, "Welcome, everyone." "Hey, where's the red paint?" Talia called to Ben. "Huh? I hope someone's going to be caught red-handed for stealing the red paint." Huh? He was down on his hands and knees, using a thick brush to paint the W in welcome. Talia and I were also down on the floor, painting the black outlines to our poster. She climbed to her feet and stared down at Ben. "Didn't you bring any red paint down to the gym? I only see black." "I thought you were bringing it," he replied. He pointed to a stack of cans under the basketball hoop. "What are those?" "All black," she told him. "Oh, so you have to put the black cans underneath the basketball hoop? Real progressive, R.L. Stein." "All black," she told him. "I asked you to bring down some red, remember? I want to put red in the middle of the letters. Black and red are the school colors, you know." "Black and red was also the school colors of the college that I went to for a year and a half." "Duh," Ben muttered, clearly knowing where Dune went to college for 10 minutes. "Well, I'm not going upstairs for it, Talia. The art room is on the third floor." Is it still recording? The fucking computer went to, like, sleepy night-night mode, because I hadn't touched it for a while. Anyway, art room's on the third floor and shit. "I'll go," I volunteered a bit too eagerly. They both stared at me. "I mean, I don't mind," I added. "I can use the exercise." "You really did hit your head, didn't you?" Ben joked. "Do you remember where the art room is?" Talia asked. I set down my brush. "Yeah, I think so. You go up the stairs in the back, right?" Talia nodded. Her curly blonde hair bounced whenever she moved her head. "Right. You go up 3 flights to the top floor. Then you go straight down the hall to the back. Turn right again, and it's at the back." Why didn't she just say make a U-turn? "No problemo," I said. I started jogging to the double gym doors. "Bring at least 2 cans, she called after me, all needy and shit. "And some clean brushes. And bring me a Coke," Ben called. He laughed, but we all knew he had a serious cocaine problem. What a joker! I started running at full speed to the exit, like listeners do with this podcast. "No, I don't want to hear Dune ramble on at Goosebumps. He just complains about the fact that he's reading it, but there he is again, less than a week later, reading another one." I'm not sure why I started to run. I guess I was trying to impress Talia, because people that aren't chill and laid back and stuff, they are the best. I lowered my shoulders and burst through the double doors and barreled at full speed into a girl standing in the hall. "Hey!" She let out a startled cry as we both toppled to the floor. Notice how they both toppled even though he's a bottom. I landed on top of her with a groan. That's not what he likes. Her head made a loud crack as it hit the concrete floor and she died. Oh, no, just stunned. We both lay there for a second. Then I rolled off her and scrambled to my feet, like I would do so many times to young women I met on Tinder. "Sorry," I managed to choke out. I reached out to help her up, but she angrily shoved my hand away and climbed up without any help, hopefully doing that cool breakdancing ninja move where you do like a lean back and push up with your arms and flip up that Dune could never do. As she stood, I saw that she was at least a foot taller than me. Tall and broad shoulders and powerful looking. She reminded me of one of those women wrestlers on TV. That is not a compliment. She had white blonde hair, which had fallen over her face. She was dressed all in black, like Dune's fiance, and she stared at me furiously with steel gray eyes. Frightening eyes. "I'm really sorry," I repeated, taking a step back as I stared up at her. She took a heavy step toward me, then another. Those cold gray eyes froze me against the wall. She scowled and moved closer. What are you going to do? I stammered and immediately peed my pants. Chapter number 2. I pressed my back tight against the wall. What are you going to do? I repeated and repeatedly peed my pants. My bladder has 2 different sections, like a cow's stomach has 4. I hold a lot of urine. I'm going to walk home, if you'll ever let me, she growled. She spun away, her hands squeezed into big fists like sock'em boppers. "I said I was sorry," I called after her. She vanished up the stairs without turning back. "Don't turn around, you mean girl." Those weird gray eyes stayed in my mind like my gray brain. I gave her time to leave the building. Then I started up the stairs. It was a long climb to the top floor. My legs still felt a little shaky from running into that strange girl, and it was kind of eerie being the only person up here. My shoes thudded on the hard steps, and the sound thundered in the empty stairwell. The halls stretched out like long, dark tunnels. "Well, turn on a light, you dingus!" I was out of breath when I finally reached the landing on the third floor. I started down the hall, humming to myself. My voice sounded hollow in the empty hall. Empty hollow. It echoed off the long row of gray lockers. I stopped humming as I made my first right turn. I passed an empty teacher's lounge, a computer lab, then some rooms that looked empty. Another right turn took me into a narrow hall with wooden floors that criggity-iggity creaked and griggity-iggity groaned under my shoes. I stopped outside the room at the end of the hall. A small, hand-lettered sign beside the door read, "Fart Room." Clearly Dune had gone in there at night and added an extra F because he's that funny. I grabbed the doorknob and started to pull open the door, but I stopped when I heard voices inside the room. Startled, I gripped the doorknob and listened. I heard a boy and a girl. They were talking softly. I couldn't make out their words, but the kids sounded like Talia and Ben. "What are they doing up here?" I wondered. "Why did they follow me? How did they get up here before I did?" I pushed open the door and stepped inside. "Hey, you guys," I called. "What's going on?" My mouth dropped open. The room was empty. "Hey," I called. "Are you guys in here?" No reply. My eyes darted around the big room. Golden afternoon sunlight poured in through the windows like a golden shower from gods. Stupid books. The long art table stood clean and empty. Some clay pots were drying on the window ledge. A mobile, come on, that's the same word, how was I supposed to know? Made of wire hangers and soup cans hung from the ceiling light. That seems like something you'd put on your porch to attract hobos. Just wire hangers and soup cans? Come on down here, have some hobo chili. I made of the last homeless person that made the mistake of coming up here. Weird, I thought, shaking my head. I heard voices in here. I know I did. Are Talia and Ben playing a little joke on me? I wondered. Are they hiding up here? I made my way quickly to the big supply closet and pulled open the door. "Got you," I replied. "No, no one in there." I stared into the dark closet, a time where I'd spend most of my youth. Essentially, I was calling him gay. That was the joke. Am I starting to hear voices? I wondered. Maybe my fall off the ladder was worse than I'd thought. I reached up and pulled the chain to turn on the closet light. On both sides of me, shelves of art supplies reached the ceiling. I stole a container of rubber cement to huff later. I spotted the red paint we needed and started to slide a few cans off the shelf. But I stopped when I heard a girl laugh. Then a boy said something. He sounded excited. He was talking rapidly, but I couldn't make out the words, nor could I make out with the girl. I spun back to the art room. No one there. "Hey! Where are you?" I called. Silence now. Dude needs water. I'm human, okay? You know, not human enough to put the effort into editing that out, but I'm just saying, I need some water. I pulled a paint can off the shelf and tucked it under my arm. Then I grabbed another can with my free hand. "Hey," I called out when I heard the voices again. "This isn't funny," I cried. "Where are you hiding?" No reply. They must be in the next room, I decided. I carried the red paint cans out into the art room and set them down on the teacher's desk. Then I crept into the hall. I stopped at the next door and poked my head into the room. It was some kind of storage room. Boxes marked fragile were stacked against one another, and in the corner was a small hole marked Fraggle that led to Fraggle Rock. Led to Fraggle Rock. Just kidding, it didn't. It's just there's boxes that say fragile. No one there. I checked the room across the hall. No one there either. As I walked back to the art room, I heard the voices again. The girl was shouting now, and then the boys shouted too. It sounded as if they were calling for help, but for some reason their voices seemed muffled, kind of far away. My heart started to beat a little faster. My throat suddenly felt dry. Who is playing this joke on me? I wondered. Everyone has gone home. The whole building is empty. So who's up here? And why can't I find them? Ben! Talia! I shouted. My voice echoed off the long wall of gray lockers. Are you up here? Silence. I took a deep breath and stepped back into the art room. I'm just going to ignore them, I decided. I hoisted up the two cans of paint and made my way back out into the hall. I glanced quickly both ways, thinking I might see Talia and Ben, or I was going to cross the street and there might be a car coming. But, you know, it's probably not cars in the halls, unless this is like a cool badass video or like the rebel kids are riding motorcycles in the hall and Billy Idol's there. That'd be cool. A shadow leaned out from an open doorway. I froze and stared. Who's there? I called. Chapter 3. A man backed out the doorway, pulling a large vacuum cleaner. He wore a gray uniform and had the stub of an unlit cigar clenched in his teeth, as if he was about to roast someone at a comedy roast in 1950. The janitor. I sighed and made my way to the stairs. I don't think he saw me. The stairway curved halfway down. I started down the steps, but I stopped in front of a large bulletin board on the wall. I glanced over the notices of school events, a calendar, and a lost and found list. Oh, wow. I'm in trouble. I don't remember seeing this on my way up, I told myself. It was two turns. How were you lost? Oh, wait, it's a haunted school. I gazed back up to the top of the stairs. Did I take the wrong stairway? Will these stairs take me back to the gym? Only one way to find out, I declared. Gripping the paint cans tightly, I turned and continued down. To my surprise, the stairs ended at the second floor. I gazed down a long hallway, searching for stairs to take me to the gym in the basement. But I only saw closed classroom doors and a long row of metal lockers. The paint cans started to feel heavy because I was a little bitch. My shoulders ached. I set the cans down on the floor and took a moment to stretch my arms, like Stretch Armstrong who doesn't stretch. Then I picked up the cans and started walking again, my footsteps ringing in the empty hall. I glanced into the rooms I passed. Whoa! A skeleton grinned at me from a doorway. Maybe it's Halloween, or maybe it's a biology room. Wait, my biology teacher in high school had like jaundice and was like turning yellow and I was having like liver failure. And she promised me her bones when she died, because I was always into the skeleton we had in the class, and she's probably dead by now, right? I graduated high school, like, what? I guess just 10.5 years ago? I don't know. How long do people live? Point is, I want her bones. God damn it. Anyway, my mouth dropped open, but I quickly got myself together. Probably some kind of science lab, I murmured. I thought I saw a small black cat lurking at the end of a row of lockers. I stopped and squinted down at it. Not a cat. Somebody's black wool ski cap. Tommy, what is your problem? I said out loud. I never realized how creepy a school building can be after everyone has left, or while they're there. School sucks. Especially a totally unfamiliar school building. I turned the corner into another long, empty hall. Still no stairs in sight. Ben and Talia must wonder what happened to me, I thought. They must think that I got lost. Well, I am lost. I passed a display case of shiny sports trophies. A red and black pennant draped over the case proclaimed, Go Bisons. More like Bicuriousons. That's our team name. The Bell Valley Bicuriousons. Just kidding, Bisons. Aren't Bisons big and very slow? And aren't they almost extinct? Yeah, because the white man came here and killed them all. What a lame team name. I continued down the hall, thinking hard. Thinking of better team names. The Bell Valley Hippos. The Bell Valley Warthogs. The Bell Valley Water Buffaloes. That last one made me laugh, but I stopped laughing when I realized I'd reached the end of the hall. A dead end. Franklin, what do you need? You just went out, bud. Hey, I called out, my eyes searching the closed doors. Shouldn't there be a stairway here? Some kind of exit? Doesn't that, you know, live up to fire code? Can't you just not have a random hallway that doesn't go anywhere in a school where they're, you know, kids are going to be smoking in the bathroom, it's going to be kitchen on fire? There appeared to be a narrow doorway, but it was boarded up. Old, rotting boards had been nailed over the opening. I never should have volunteered to get the paint, I told myself. That's just a good overall rule. Don't volunteer for anything. Fuck that. Free work. Anyway, let me get back to my hundreds of hours of free work onto this bullshit. The school building is too big, and I don't know my way around. Tally and Ben are probably fed up by now. I gazed down the long hall. Two unmarked doors stood side by side against one wall. They didn't appear to be classroom doors. I decided to try one. I leaned forward and pushed a door with my shoulder and stumbled into a large, dimly lit room. Whoa, where am I? My voice sounded small and shrill. Why are you speaking out loud anyway? Squinting into the gray light, I saw a crowd of kids staring back at me. See? It's probably the kids I was talking about who are smoking and stuff, the cool kids. I'm gonna take up smoking. I think I'm too old. They didn't get me as a teenager, and now I'm like, man, smoking just seems really uncomfortable. I'm gonna breathe in some hot air and stink, and it's expensive. Why would he? Don't smoke things that are super dangerous and don't get you intoxicated, you know? That's a lose-lose. The fourth chapter of The Haunted School by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. That's me! The kids stared back at me so stiffly, so still, still as statues. And then I realized they were statues. Hopefully maybe statues of kids smoking, to make my previous point correct. Statues of kids, at least 24 of them, at least some... Like it was some sort of pedophile Chinese emperor burying his slaves for the afterlife. They were old-fashioned looking. Their clothes were funny, like from an old movie. The boys wore sports jackets and very wide neckties and played guitar for AC/DC. The girls' jackets all had wide shoulder pads. Their skirts came down to their ankles, and they read the evening news in Toledo. I lowered the paint cans to the floor. Then I took a few cautious steps into the room. The statues were so real-looking, so lifelike. More like department store mannequins than statues. Their glass eyes glistened. Their red mouths were set sternly, not smiling. I stepped up to the statue of a boy about my age and grabbed the sleeve of his jacket. Real cloth, not sculpted stone or plaster. So he's going to get turned into one of these, or someone else is? What's going on? That'd be a terrible Goosebumps if it was just like, I got turned into a statue, still staring at this wall, hoping another kid gets lost. This fucking sucks. I'm going to do a mind game and try to waste some time. All right. Imagine I'd put an X in the top right corner of a tic-tac-toe game. Oh, I put an O in the center. What am I doing? This isn't entertaining. Neither would that be to him. Ooh, just got meta. Anyway, it was so dark in the room, hard to see clearly. I reached into the pocket of my khakis and pulled out my red plastic lighter. That is like a zero tolerance thing at schools now. I know. I'm not supposed to have a lighter. There's no reason why I would have one, except my grandfather gave me the lighter a few weeks before he died, and I've carried it around with me as a good luck charm ever since. When I have grandkids, I'm going to give them ridiculous shit they're not supposed to have. I'm going to be like, here's a crack torch, not just a normal lighter. This is like a gun, but I put some plastic on it, so it looks like a toy gun, but don't believe me, it shoots. And here's a copy of Mein Kampf. I highlighted all the important parts. I flicked the lighter, probably a Bic, because they have that whole flick the Bic thing, never mind, and slipped it back into my pocket. Then I touched the boy's face, smooth and cool, carved or molded out of some kind of plaster. I rubbed my finger over one of his eyes, some kind of glass or plastic. I tugged at the back of his dark brown hair. It started to slide off. A wig. Beside him stood a statue of a tall, thin girl in a black sweater and a long, straight black skirt down to her ankles. I gazed up into her dark, shiny eyes. She appeared to be staring back at me, because that's how eyes work. If you stare directly at them, they look like they stare at you, because that's what eyes do, they stare. So sad. Her expression seemed so sad to me. Why weren't any of these statues smiling? I squeezed her hand. Cool plaster. Why are these statues here? I wondered. Who put them here in this hidden room? Is it some sort of art project? I stepped back and spotted an engraved sign over the door. My eyes moved quickly over the big block letters. Class of 1947. I stared at the sign, read it again. Then I turned back to the room full of statues, and one of the statues called out, "What are you doing here?" Oh, shit. Chapter number 15. Just like the old times, Franklin's on my lap as I'm recording. Huh? I let out a loud gasp. "What are you doing in here, young man?" the voice repeated. Blinking hard, I whirled around and saw Mrs. Borden, the principal, standing in the open doorway. You're not a statue, I blurted out. That's a great way to defend yourself. Franklin, are you going to go chase the kitty and you want to go, or do you want to just move? He's gone. No, he's still sitting next to me. She moved quickly into the room, holding a clipboard against the front of her sweater. No, I'm not, she replied, without smiling. She glanced down at the two paint cans on the floor. Then she stepped up beside me, her eyes studying me. Mrs. Borden is very short. She's only an inch or two taller than me, and she's kind of chubby. She has curly black hair and a round pink face. She always seems to be blushing. She looks like him. Uh-oh. Maybe he's her. That's a bizarre twist. Some kids told me that she's really nice. I met her only for a moment when I showed up at the Bell Valley my first morning. That morning, she was all upset about a pack of dogs that were swarming over the playground and frightening the little kids. She didn't have time to talk to me. Now, she stood so close to me, I could smell the peppermint on her breath. She's probably smoking menthols. Tommy, I think you must be lost, she said softly. I nodded. Yeah, I guess, I murmured. Where are you supposed to be? She asked. She clutched the clipboard to her chest. I feel like 90% of clipboards are just there to prove that you're someone that should hold a clipboard, but they don't actually do anything. The gym, I replied. She finally smiled. You're a long way from the gym. This is the entrance to the old building. The gym is in the new building, way on the other side. She gestured with the clipboard. Ooh, look at me. I have a clipboard. I took the wrong stairs, I explained. I was coming from the art room and... Oh, right. You're on the Dance Dance Revolution team. Oh, I'm sorry, that's a different day. You're on the Dance Decorations Committee, she interrupted. Well, let me show you how to get back downstairs. I turned to the statues. They all stood so still. No shit, idiot. So silently. They seemed to be eavesdropping on Mrs. Borden and me. What is this room? I asked. She put a hand on my shoulder and started to move toward the door. It's a private room, she said softly. But what is it? I replied. I mean... These statues. Who are these kids? Are they real kids or something? Uh-oh, you shouldn't ask the creepy principal if it's real kid statues. She didn't reply. Her hand tightened on my shoulder as she guided me to the door. I stopped to pick up the paint cans. When I glanced back at Mrs. Borden, her expression had changed. This is a very sad room, Tommy, she said, her voice just above a whisper. These kids... were the very first class in the school. The class of 1947? I asked, glancing at the sign. The principal nodded. Yes, just about 50 years ago, there were 25 kids in the school, and one day, they all disappeared.
Huh?
Startled by her words, I dropped the paint cans to the floor. They vanished, Tommy, Mrs. Borden continued, turning her gaze to the statues. Vanished into thin air. 1 minute, they were here in school. The next minute, they were gone. Forever. Never seen again. But, I sputtered like every goddamn Goosebumps book. I didn't know what to say. How could 25 kids vanish? Mrs. Borden sighed. It was a terrible tragedy, she said softly. A terrible mystery. The parents, the poor parents. Her voice caught in her throat. She took a deep breath. They were so heartbroken. The parents had the school boarded up. Closed forever. That worked out well. The town built a new school around it. The old building has stood empty since that horrible day. What the fuck kind of city government allows that shit? Of just like, I don't know. I know we spent all this money to build a school that was open for less than a year, but let's build around it because some spooky shit happened. Are you sure we shouldn't just investigate said spooky shit? Nah, just build a new school. We got plenty of money. It's post-World War II, where everyone just has so much money. Wait, no. None of this makes sense. And these statues, I like how I'm way more interested in the logistics of these once I get older. Infrastructure-wise, you know, whatever. And these statues, I asked. A local artist made them, Mrs. Borden replied. He used a class photo, a photo of Uriwan. The artist used the photo to make these statues, a tribute to the missing children. Nice tribute that you leave locked away. Boarded up. Remember the time that they disappeared? I stared at the room full of statues. Kids. Vanished kids. Weird, I muttered. I picked up the paint cans. Mrs. Borden opened the door. I didn't mean to come in here. I apologized. I didn't know. No problem, she replied. This building is very big and very confusing. Like my body, which is a big, confusing wonderland. I led the way out to the hall. She closed the door carefully behind us. Follow me, she said. The heels of her shoes clicked loudly on the hard floor as she walked like the beginning of that AFI song. Swinging the clipboard at her side, she walked really fast for a tiny person. Holding a paint can in each hand, I had to struggle to keep up with her. Like those brooms in Fantasia when Mickey keeps making all the brooms come to life. He looked like that, I assume. How are you getting along, Tommy? She asked. Aside from getting lost, I mean. Fine, I said. Everyone's been really great. We turned a corner. I had to jog to catch up with her. We turned another corner. Into a brighter hallway. The tile walls were bright yellow. The linoleum floor gleamed. This is where you meant to go, Mrs. Borden announced. And there is a stairway down to the gym. She pointed the way, then smiled at me. I thanked her and hurried off and possibly scuttled away. I couldn't wait to get back to the gym. I hoped Tally and Ben weren't angry about how long it took me. I was really eager to ask them about the class of 1947. I wanted to hear what they knew about all those missing kids. Holding the cans of red paint, I made my way down the two flights of stairs to the basement. It all looked familiar now. I ran past the lunchroom to the double gym doors at the end of the hall, pushed open the doors with my shoulder, and burst into the gym. Hey, I'm back, I called. The words caught in my throat. Talia and Ben were sprawled face down on the gym floor.
Let's find out what happened. Chapter 6. Oh, no! I let out a wail of horror.
The paint cans fell from my hands and clattered heavily to the gym floor. One of the cans rolled in my path, and I stumbled over it because I have no idea about my surroundings at any time. As I hurtled toward my new friends, Talia, Ben, I screamed. They both giggled and raised their hands from the floor, grinning. Wait, isn't that the ending of the first Saw movie? All right, see? Another thing that steals from R.L. Stine. Ben opened his mouth in a long, phony yawn. We got so tired of waiting for you, we fell asleep, Talia declared. They both laughed again. Laughing, Ben Jackson. Ben shot Talia a high five. Dune shoots Tequila 5 times. They both climbed to their feet. Talia hurried over to her purse. She pulled out a lipstick tube and began applying another coat to her lips. Grinning, Ben narrowed his eyes at me. You got lost, right? You got lost, right? I nodded unhappily. Yeah, so big deal, I muttered. I win the bet, Ben cried happily. He held out a hand to Talia. Pay up, bitch. Whoa, I don't believe you two, I exclaimed. You bet on whether or not I'd get lost? We were pretty bored, Talia confessed. She handed Ben $1. He shoved it into his jeans pocket. Then he glanced up at the big scoreboard clock. Oh, wow, he cried. I'm late. I promised my brother I'd get home by 5. He ran to the bleachers and started gathering up his backpack and jacket. Hey, wait, I called. I want to tell you what I saw upstairs. I mean, it was weird. Later, he said, pulling on his jacket as he jogged toward the double doors. But what about the red paint? I cried. I'll drink it tomorrow, he shouted. Then he disappeared out the doors. By the way, that's actually what it says. It wasn't just me making comment about drinking paint, but I don't think I've ever done that before. It doesn't seem to make sense. I watched them bang shut. Then I turned to Talia. He's pretty funny sometimes, she said. I mean, sometimes he makes me laugh. Ha, ha, I muttered. Don't be grumpy because the girl digs the funny guy. But it's also better looking than you, you noted. He's just better than you, dude. It's fine. Some people are better than others. I picked up the cans of red paint and carried them over to our banners on the floor. Sorry it took so long, I told her, but she was brushing some kind of makeup onto her eyelids. It's probably shadow or liner, you know, that's usually what goes there. You saw something weird upstairs? She asked, glancing at me over the round mirror she held in her free hand. Well, first I ran into the hall and knocked into this weird girl, I told her. Talia narrowed her eyes at me. What weird girl? I don't know her name, I replied. She's big, a lot taller than me, and really tough looking. And she has the weirdest gray eyes. And Greta? She asked. You knocked over Greta? I assume her name is Grey Eye Greta, because that just works. Is that her name? I replied. Dressed in black? Talia asked. Greta always dresses in black. Yeah, then that was her, I said. I knocked her flat. Then I fell on top of her. Smooth, huh? Watch out for her, Tamia. Tamia, Talia warned. Greta is definitely weird. She started to roll up her banner. So, what happened to you upstairs? I heard something, I told her. When I got to the art room, I heard voices. Kids' voices. But when I went inside the room, there was no one there. Huh? Talia's mouth dropped open. You heard them? She stammered. I nodded. Yeah. You really heard them? Yes. Who were they? I demanded. I kept searching for them all over the third floor. I heard them, but I couldn't see them. And then Mrs. Borden. I stopped talking when I saw that Talia had tears in her eyes. Hey, what's wrong? I asked. She didn't answer me. She spun away and ran from the gym. Wait, is he supposed to put stuff away now? He's going to go back to the art room and get lost again and find the class from 1948? What the fuck? Don't just leave him crying. You gotta help out people that are new.
Chapter number 7.
A few days later, Talia had a run-in with Greta, and it almost turned violent. It was Thursday afternoon. Mr. Devine, our transsexual teacher, received a message from the office. He read the message a few times, moving his red Rocky Horror-style lips as he read. Then, muttering to himself, he left the room. It was near the end of the school day. I guess everyone was tired of sitting in school. We were all ready to break out of that bitch. As soon as Mr. Devine disappeared, everyone kind of exploded. Like the class from 1947? They exploded? Was it the commies? I mean, guys jumped up and started running around the room. Oh, not literally. Doing funny dance moves and just goofing, y'all. One kid turned on a boombox he had hidden under his desk and cranked the music up. He was African-American. Some girls were laughing wildly about something in the back of the room, tossing their heads and slapping their hands on their desks. I sit in the back row since I am a new kid. Ben was absent. I think he had a dentist appointment or some shit. I don't know. Maybe he was just huffing nitrous. So, since I didn't know anyone else yet, I was sort of left out of all the fun. I tapped my hand to the music and pretended I was having a good time. But actually, I felt kind of awkward and lonely. That's all it is, being a young teenager. You'll stop feeling like that when you're like 25. And I secretly wished that Mr. Divine would come back so that things could return to normal. I stared out the window for a while. It was a cloudy autumn day, very windy. The swirling wind gusts set red and yellow leaves sailing and twisting over the playground like a confused stoplight. I stared at them for a while. Then I turned back into the room and my eyes landed on Talia in the front row. She wasn't paying any attention to all the dancing and joking and wild laughter like you would see in World Star Vine videos. She had her little mirror raised to her face and was slicking a layer of lipstick onto her lips. I waved and tried to get her attention. I wanted to know if she and I were going to work on decorations after school in the gym. I tried to call her, but she couldn't hear me over all the noise. She stared into her little mirror and didn't turn around. I started to stand up and walk over to her when I saw Greta lean over Talia's desk and grab the lipstick tube from her hand. Greta laughed and said something to Talia.
Yo, bitch, I got your lipstick, ha ha ha, but I ain't gonna wear it because I wear black lipstick all the time like Marilyn Manson.
Oh, sorry, no, that's not what she said. Laughed and said something to Talia. She held the lipstick tube out of Talia's reach. Talia let out an angry scream like Xena, warrior princess. Ay, 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 ay. Was that what she said? Doesn't matter, none of you even get that reference anymore anyway. She swiped at the lipstick, but she wasn't fast enough to grab it back. Greta's gray eyes glinted with excitement, glamorously, glowingly. She laughed and heaved it to a guy across the room. "Give that back!" Talia shrieked. She leaped to her feet. Her eyes were wild and her face was pale. "Give that back! Give it!" With a furious growl, Talia dove across the row of desks and tried to tackle the boy. Laughing, he dodged away from her and tossed the tube back to Greta. The metal tube hit a desk and bounced onto the floor. Talia hurried herself to the floor, grabbing at it wildly with both hands as if it were something valuable. I was halfway to the front of the room as Greta and she wrestled on the floor for the lipstick. I gaped at Talia in shock. What is the big deal, I wondered. Why is she so desperate to get the tube back? It's only lipstick, after all. All right, here's Dune's new theory. She puts on makeup all the time because she's one of the statue kids come back to life. That's why she was so alarmed at the voices, because the other statue kids are now coming back to life, too, because they were killed by the Ruskies, and the radiation brings them back after 50 years or so. That's my theory, aside from the last part. But I think she's one of the statue kids. Other kids were watching the struggle. I saw the girls at the back of the room laughing at Talia. They were the ones who had teased her about wearing makeup. They're just insecure and angry because their parents won't let them wear makeup. Like Dune's parents are like, "Dune, don't wear makeup in junior high." And I'll show them. I didn't really show them. I was a weird kid. Some kids cheered as Greta came up with the lipstick. She raised it in her big fist. Talia screamed and grabbed at it. Then Greta raised the lipstick tube higher and higher toward Talia's face and drew a red smiley on Talia's forehead. Talia had tears in her eyes now. She's always crying. I saw that she was totally losing it. I didn't really understand why she was so insane about it, but I decided I had to do something. Hero time for Tommy Frazier. "Hey, give that back to her," I boomed. I took a deep breath and stepped forward to teach Greta a lesson. He should teach her a lesson in getting nicknames, you know, so she doesn't go through life as Greta. And if anyone here is listening and named Greta,
Your new name is Trillian. Like from Hitchhiker's Guide. That's who you are now. You're Trillian, Gretas of the world.
Chapter 8. Greta was holding the lipstick tube high over her head, pushing Talia away with her other hand. Give it back to her, I insisted, trying to sound tough. It isn't funny, Greta. Give Talia the lipstick. I jumped up and grabbed the hand with the lipstick in it. I heard some kids cheering and clapping. I didn't know which of us they were cheering for. Using both hands, I started to pry the tube from Greta's big hand. You'll take that lipstick from her big, goofy, oversized, cold, dead hand, Mr. Obama. And that's when Mr. Divine returned to the room. What's going on? He demanded. I turned to see him glaring at me through his round, black-framed glasses. I lowered my hands from Greta's fist. The lipstick tube dropped to the floor. It rolled under Talia's desk. With a tiny cry, she dove for it. God damn it. What's happening in here? Mr. Divine moved quickly to the front of the room. Tommy, why are you up here? The teacher demanded. Behind his thick glasses, his eyes looked as big as tennis balls. Ew. Why did you leave your seat? I was just, getting something? I choked out. He was helping me, Talia chimed in. I gazed down at her. She seemed a lot calmer now that she had her lipstick back. Meanwhile, my heart was pounding like crazy. Get back to your seats, everyone, Mr. Divine ordered. I should be able to leave the room for 2 minutes without everyone going berserk. He turned to stare at Greta. Why wasn't he turning to stare at the kid with the boombox who was pumping out the fat beats? Just goofing around, she muttered. She tossed back her white blonde hair and dropped heavily into her seat. I slumped back to my desk and took deep breaths. I wanted to ask Talia what the big deal was about her lipstick, but she didn't turn around. Oh! It took a few more seconds for Mr. Divine to get everyone to calm down. Then he glanced up at the chalkboard above, at the clock above the chalkboard. They should call it a clockboard because there's a clock above it, but I guess chalkboard works because the board's what you write, the chalk. Mark, forget it. We have 20 more minutes until the bell rings, he announced. I have to take care of some paperwork at my desk, so I'd like you to use the time for quiet reading. Wish I could do that. I have to read aloud. He pulled off his glasses and blew a speck off one of the lenses. His eyes looked like tiny marbles when he took his glasses off, like Milhouse. Your book reports are all due on Monday, he reminded us, so this would be a good time to do some reading. There was a lot of chair scraping and book bag thudding and thumping as we pulled out our reading books. A few seconds later, the room fell silent. I was reading a book of short stories by Ray Bradbury for my book report. I think this was R.L. Stein's attempt to get Goosebumps readers into better books, you know, like, hey, go check out Ray Bradbury. I never did that. I just stuck with R.L. Stein, apparently. That's not true. I like nonfiction. I'm not a science fiction freak or anything, but these stories were really good. Most of them had surprise endings, which I really like. I tried to concentrate on the story I was reading. It was about three kids who live on a planet where it never stops raining. A very sad story. They never see the sunshine, and they can never go outside to play. Right, you just play in the rain. I read a couple of pages, and then I nearly dropped the book when I heard a voice. A girl's voice. Very soft, but very clear. Please, help me. She cried. Help me. Startled, I slammed the book shut and glanced around. Who said that? My eyes landed on Talia. Was she calling me? No, she had her face buried in a book. Help me, please. I heard the girl plead again. Let's see what this girl needs, huh? I spun around. No one there. Did anyone hear that? I asked, more loudly than I'd planned.
You're just going to be the weird loner kid now. Mr. Divine raised his eyes from his papers. Tommy, what did you say? Did anyone hear that girl? I asked, calling for help. A few kids laughed. Talia turned and frowned at me. I didn't hear anything, Mr. Divine replied. No, really, I insisted. I heard her. She said, please help me. Mr. Divine tisk-tisked. You're too young to start hearing voices. Schizophrenia usually kicks in around 19 or so. You're fine for now. Some more kids laughed. I didn't think it was very funny. I laughed and picked up my book. I couldn't wait for the bell to ring. I really wanted to get out of the classroom. I thumbed through the book, trying to find my page. But before I found it, I heard the girl's voice again. So soft and near, and so unhappy. Help me, please, please. Somebody help me. Spooky. Chapter number 99999. On the night of the school dance, Ben, Talia, and I got to the gym early. With only an hour to go, we were busily putting up the finishing touches on the decorations. I like how he's been on the dance committee deal for some time, and now he's just doing it the day before. That doesn't seem right. I thought it all looked pretty great. We had banners strung out in the hall outside the gym, like the gym teacher was strung out in his office, and two big banners in the gym proclaiming Bell Valley Rocks and Welcome Everyone instead of Dance Till You Puke. I remembered. We tied huge bouquets of helium balloons to the two basketball hoops. The hoops were all red and black, of course. Also, the balloons were. Come on, Dune, let's drink. Is the let's when I do that? Because obviously I don't normally use, like, the royal we. When I'm saying let's, is it the reading of character Dune and me, the vessel for him? It's weird that I say let's drink instead of I'm going to. Only when I'm recording, though. Anyway, let's keep going. Ooh, maybe it's let's as in the listener. That's what I think I'm doing, subconsciously. You guys have a drink, too. If you're not 21, go steal some from your parents. And we had red and black crepe paper streamers on the walls and over the bleachers. Talia and I had spent days painting a big poster of a bison giving the thumbs up sign. If anyone's not in the know, the thumbs up sign is done by putting your thumb up. Underneath the bison, it said Bison's Rule in red and black letters. Talia and I aren't very good artists. The bison didn't really look much like the photos of bisons we found in books. Ben said it looked more like a cow that had been sick for a long time. But we hung the poster up anyway, until someone wrote AIDS cow on it and we had to take it down. Now, the three of us were arranging a red and black crepe paper tablecloth over the refreshment table. I glanced up at the scoreboard clock. 7:30. The dance was scheduled to start at 8. We still have a lot to do, I said. Ben tugged his end of the paper tablecloth too hard. I heard a soft ripping sound. It's like he's a terrible magician. Oops, he said. Anybody bring any tape? It's no problem, Talia told him. We'll just cover the torn part with soda bottles or something. I glanced at the clock again. When is the band supposed to arrive? Any minute, Talia replied. They were supposed to be here early to set up. You don't tell bands that they need to be there at 8 for an 8 o'clock show. You tell them, like, 6:30, and then they show up at 8, and then you give them some powders to keep them awake. Some kids had formed a band called Grunt. What a rad band name. It was sort of a strange band. 5 guitar players and a drummer. And I heard some kids saying that 3 of the guitar players didn't really know how to play. Grunt rules. I would go see Grunt. But Mrs. Borden asked them to perform a few songs at the dance. It took us a while to get the tablecloth straight. It wasn't quite big enough for the table. What's next? Ben asked. Do we have decorations for the gym doors? Before I could answer, the double doors swung open and Mrs. Borden came charging in like a bison.
I assume Bison Charge. At first, I didn't recognize her. She wore a shiny, bright red party dress, and she had her black curly hair piled up high on her head behind a silver tiara. Even with her hair piled up, she still wasn't much taller than we were. Her eyes darted around the gym as she hurried over to us. "It looks great, just fabulous, guys," she gushed. "Oh, you worked so hard. You did a wonderful job." We thanked her and drank more so I can get on point. Excellent. She slapped a Polaroid camera into my hands. "Take pictures, Tommy," she instructed me. "Snapshots of the decorations. Hurry, take a whole bunch before people start arriving, because that's what people want pictures of at a dance, the streamers and not each other having a good time." I examined the camera. That was on purpose, even though it sounded terrible. "Well, okay," I agreed. "But Talia, Ben, and I still have more stuff to do. We have posters for the doors, and we need more balloons over there. And... Mrs. Borden laughed. "You're a little too stressed. Here, hit this." Talia and Ben laughed too. Clearly they had already hit it. I could feel my face turning hot. I knew I was blushing. This was clearly good shit. "Take it easy, Tommy," Mrs. Borden said, patting my shoulders soothingly, "or you won't survive until the dance." I forced a smile. "I'm okay," I told her. Little did I realize that, after all my hard work, I would never see the dance. Oh no, I think he's missing out on the dune dance. Here we go, everybody do the dune dance. Huh. All right, to the left now, to the right, bend it over. Do the dune dance, yeah, yeah, yeah. Big finish. Dune dance, yeah. All right, I'm back. Well, you didn't know I left through the magic of editing, but I went and walked Franklin and took care of some stuff, and now I'm back to read chapter 10. Chapter 10, y'all. Yo, look out! Move that amp! Hey, Greta, move that amp! Move it yourself, bitch! Where's my wah-wah? Did anyone see my wah-wah pedal? I ate it for breakfast. That's not funny. Move the amp. The band members arrived while I was snapping Polaroids. Polaroids were cameras that when you took a picture, it popped out immediately. They got replaced essentially by film cameras being cheap and then by digital cameras. And now they're pretty much only used by serial killers. You know, take pictures of the victims. Oh, and my fiance, she has one. But she got it recently. It's one of those ones that takes those really small pictures. It's kind of fun. Wait, I used it in the art for an episode that you can see it. Facebook.com/DuneReadsGoosebumps brought it back around while I snapped while I was snapping Polaroids, and they instantly took over, making a big racket as they set up by the bleachers. The guitarists were all guys. Greta was the drummer. Seeing her lug her drums across the gym reminded me of the lipstick battle in class on Thursday. The lipstick battle sounds like some giant, like, Stonewall-style gay rights march. After school, I asked Talia what the big deal was. "Why'd you go nuts?" I asked. "I didn't go nuts," Talia insisted. "Greta did. She thinks that because she's so big and strong, she can just grab whatever she wants." Men, or in this case women, but damn it, where'd I put my water? I can't just keep drinking booze. "She's really weird," I agreed. "But you were so upset." "I like that lipstick, that's all," Talia replied. "It's my best lipstick. Why should I let her grab it from me?" Now, Greta, dressed in black as always, was setting up with the rest of the band. They were all laughing and shoving each other around, tossing cables back and forth. You already have enough trouble with mic cables. I don't know why you would throw them all around. And guitar ones, the quarter-inch ones, tripping over their guitar cases, acting like big shots because they had a band. A few other kids started to arrive. I recognized the two girls who were the ticket takers and a couple of kids from the refreshment committee. That's what I feel like I should call my underage drinking club if I was in high school. We're just doing testings for the refreshment committee, which I'm still drinking on. who started complaining that somebody ordered only Mountain Dew and no Coke. Fucking gamers. I scrambled around, snapping photos of the banners and the balloons. I was setting up to shoot our bison poster when a loud shout made me spin around. I saw Greta and one of the guitar players pretending to have a duel with the guitars. The other members were laughing and cheering them on. It was like a Tenacious D show. You know, not that funny and people just pretending guitars are important. Greta had picked up one of the guitars. She and the other guy raised the guitars high over their heads and came charging at each other. "No, stop!" I screamed like a little bitch. Too late. Greta's guitar ripped right through the Bell Valley Rocks banner, tore it in two. Now it just says, Belva Lee Rocks. No one enjoyed it, except for the kid named Lee. He got a big kick out of it. I let out a loud groan as the two halves of the banner drooped to the floor. I turned and saw the unhappy faces of Talia and Ben. "Hey, sorry about that," Greta called. Then she burst out laughing. People that are sorry don't laugh. I bet she wasn't really sorry. We'll find out, won't we, listeners? I hurried over to the wrecked banner and picked up one end. Talia and Ben were right behind me. "What are we gonna do?" I cried. "It's ruined." "No one gives a fuck about your banner." "We can't just leave it here hanging over the floor," Talia said, shaking her head. "We need it," I declared, unsure of what the word need meant. "Yeah, it's our best banner," Talia agreed. "Maybe we can tape it back together," I suggested. "No problem, we'll tape it together," Ben said. "Come on, Tommy." He grabbed my arm and started to pull me. I almost dropped Mrs. Borden's Polaroid. "Where are we going?" I demanded. "Up to the art room, of course," Ben replied. He started jogging to the double gym doors and I followed. "It won't take long to tape it together," I thought. "Then I'll get a ladder from the janitor's closet, and we'll hang it right the fuck back up." We stepped out into the hall, and I stopped. Kids were arriving for the dance, hurrying to the gym. "Hey, bruh, where's your date?" "You ain't got..." Dune rules. "We don't have time to fix the banner," I told Ben. "We'll hurry," he said. "No problem." But the art room is way up on the third floor," I sputtered. "By the time we get all the way back to the gym..." "Relax," Ben said. "It won't take that long. If you'd stop complaining, come on, let's go." Ben was right. I started running down the hall, and kids were pouring into the gym. I knew we had to hurry. "Hey, not that way," I heard him calling. "You're going the wrong way, Tommy." "I know where I'm going," I called back. "Didn't you just get lost like 10 minutes ago?" "I went this way last time." I ran to the end of the hall and turned a corner. "Tommy, stop," Ben called. "It's up this way," I called back to him. "This way is faster, I know it." But I was wrong. "Look at Mr. Hotshot, new kid at school who thinks he has it memorized in 2 weeks. Hey, maybe you should listen to people and they give you advice." Anyway, he was wrong. I should have listened to Ben. A few seconds later, the hall ended at a boarded up wall. Another fire hazard. "See?" Ben cried breathlessly. "What is your problem? The stairs are back there." "Okay, I made a mistake," I told him. "I wanted to hurry, that's all." "But you don't know where you're going," he said angrily. "Remember, Tommy, you need a roadmap to find your toes." He probably doesn't, unless he's, you know, fatter than he laid on initially. But I think that fat people can still see their toes. Obviously not just standing up and looking down, but, you know, they can put their feet up or something. Yeah, of course. And then who clips their toenails? This is interesting. "Very funny," I muttered. I gazed around. "Where are we?" "I don't know. I can't believe I followed you." Ben was annoyed. He banged his fists against the boarded up wall. "Why can't I figure out how fat people cut their toenails?" he yelled, possibly. Probably not. "Hey," we both cried out as the rotted old boards broke away. Startled, Ben stumbled forward and crashed right through the boards. That's one of those things that you can write in a book vaguely, but it's hard to do in a movie where you're like, "Hey, there's some boards," and you're like, "Damn it," and then someone just falls through them. Like, how does that happen? They splintered and fell to the floor, and he fell on top of them. "Oh, wow." I bent to help him up. Check this out, I said, peering down a dark hall. This must be the old school building. The building,
they closed it off. They boarded it up until your fat ass done fell through the boards.
Thrills and chills, Ben muttered. He groaned and rubbed his knee. I scraped my knee on those boards. I think it's bleeding. I took a few steps into the dark hall. This school has been closed off for 50 years, I told him. We're probably the first kids in here since then. By the way, for other listeners, it's been closed off for 70 years. Remind me to write that in my diary, Ben growled, rubbing his knee. Are we going to the art room or what? I didn't answer him. Something on the wall across from us caught my eye. I walked over to it. Hey, Ben, look. An elevator.
Huh?
He hobbled across the hall to me. Don't you believe it? I asked. They had an elevator in the old school. Those kids were lucky, Ben replied.
Really? They were lucky? You guys are all obese. You don't need an elevator. Walk up the stairs. Then you can look at your toes.
Brought it back. I pressed the button on the wall. To my surprise, the doors slid open. Whoa! I peered inside. A dusty ceiling lamp clicked on, sending pale white light down through the metal car.
Don't elevators have to be inspected like every 6 months or something? Not every 50 years?
It's on, Ben cried. It's working. Let's take it to the third floor, I urged.
Like, aren't all the pulleys and stuff, like, the cables connecting it made of, like, catgut and shit that dissolves?
Come on, why should we walk up all those stairs? But, Ben held back. But I grabbed his shoulder and pushed him inside the elevator and followed him in. This is great, I exclaimed. I told you I knew how to get there. Ben's eyes started darting nervously around the narrow, gray elevator car. We shouldn't be doing this, he murmured. What could happen? I replied. The doors closed silently.
Just a reminder that I have a Patreon. That's Patreon.com, I think, /Dune. And you can give me money if you so desire. Just saying. Anyway, you don't have to. I was kidding. Kind of. 80%. 5%.
Chapter 11.
Are we moving? Ben asked. His eyes rose to the elevator ceiling. Of course not, I replied. We haven't pushed the button yet. I reached out and pushed the button with a big black 3 on it. What's your problem anyway? I demanded. Why are you so nervous? We're not robbing a bank or anything. We're just riding on an elevator because we're in a hurry. The elevator is 50 years old. Ben replied. Didn't you hear Dune? Something about using catgut instead of, like, actual cables? That seems dangerous. So, I demanded. So, we're not moving, Ben said softly. I pushed the button again and listened for the hum that meant we were going up. Silence. Let's get out of here, Ben said. It's not working. I told you we shouldn't try it. I pushed the button again. Nothing. I pushed the button marked 2. We're wasting time, Ben said. If we ran up the stairs, we'd be up there already. The dance is starting and the stupid banner is trailing on the floor.
Don't be so angry. It was that giant Amazon horrible woman. It's not his fault.
I pushed the 3 button again and the 2. Nothing. No noise. We didn't move. I pushed the mutton.
What is it? Some sort of mutton chop? But fucking Christ, let me drink.
I pushed the button marked B. We don't want to go to the basement, Ben cried. I heard a little panic start to creep into his voice. Tommy, why did you push B?
Just trying to get it to move, I said.
My throat suddenly felt a little dry. I had a knot in the pit of my stomach.
Maybe he has diarrhea. I don't think the toilets are working up here.
Why weren't we moving? I pushed all the buttons again. Then I pounded them with my fist. Ben pulled my hand away.
Nice try, Ace, he said sarcastically.
Let's just get out of here, okay? I don't want to miss the whole dance, okay? I'm trying to touch some over-the-bra boob, okay? Well, not fully boob, but, you know, hypothetically in a couple years there will be boob there, and then I'll think and pretend that it was there at the time, okay?
Talia is probably a little steamed by now, I said, shaking my head. I pushed three a few more times, but we didn't move. Just open the doors, Ben insisted. Okay, fine, I agreed unhappily. My eyes swept over the control panel. What's wrong? Ben asked impatiently. I can't find the door open button, I stammered. He shoved me out of the way. Here, he said, gazing over the silvery buttons. We both studied the control panel. There's got to be a door open button, Ben muttered. Maybe it's the one with the arrows, I said. I lowered my hand to a button at the bottom of the metal panel, and then a bunch of arrows shot out at me like Indiana Jones. Thwat, 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 thwat. But they all missed, and a bunch of Native Americans ran away. It has two arrows on it, and they pointed like this. Well, listeners, you do the less than symbol and then the more than, making a little diamond with a space in the middle, as if you were going to say less than three and make a heart, you know, if you're going to get like a MySpace tattoo, you know, you're going to listen to December Underground and get the less than three heart, and then some nautical star tattoos. Yes, push it, Ben said, quoting his favorite group, Salt and Peppa. He didn't wait for me to do it. He reached past me and pushed the button hard with his open hand. I stared at the door, waiting for it to slide open. It didn't move. I slapped the, and then it just has the two symbols, you know, the diamond with a space in the middle. You know, a diamond on its side. You normally put a diamond up, like, I guess not normally, but if you're making a deck of cards. Point is, two triangles, almost meeting, not quite. He slapped that button again, and again. Nothing. How are we going to get out of here? Ben cried. Don't panic, I told him. We'll get the doors open. Why shouldn't I panic? He demanded shrilly, clearly having never read The Hitchhiker's Guide. Man, I reference that book a lot. Because I want to be the one to panic first, I declared. I thought my little joke would make him laugh and calm down. After all, he was always making jokes. That's why Dune calls him Laughing Ben Jackson. But he didn't even smile, and he didn't take his eyes off the dark elevator doors. I pushed the triangle button one more time. I kept it pressed in with my thumb. The doors didn't open. I pushed the three button and the two buttons. I pushed the one button. Nothing. Silence. The buttons didn't even click. They weren't clicky-clacky buttons at all. Ben's eyes bulged. He cupped his hands around his mouth. Help us, he screamed. Can anyone hear me? Help us. Silence. Then I spotted the red button at the top of the control panel. Ben, look, I said, pointing to the red button. You know, red buttons, you should always press them. Isn't that how, like, the world always explodes in cartoons? An emergency button, he exclaimed happily. Go ahead, Tommy, push it. It's probably an alarm. Someone will hear it and come rescue us. I pushed the red button. I didn't hear an alarm, but the elevator started to I heard the clanking of gears. The floor vibrated beneath our feet. Hey, we're moving, Ben cried happily. I let out a cheer. Really? You're into cheering and you're into the dance decoration? Just saying. Then I raised my hand to slap him a high five. And you're just eerily trying to touch dudes all the time. But the elevator jerked hard. I fell against the wall. Row, I murmured, for some reason like Scooby-Doo. I pulled myself up straight. I turned to Ben. We stared at each other in wide-eyed silence, as opposed to Asian silence, not believing what was happening. The elevator wasn't moving up or down. It was moving sideways. They should not call it an elevator, then. It should be called a parallelevator. Did I just make that up? Because that's fucking brilliant. I'm going to Google that in between this chapter and the next. Chapter number 12. The elevator rumbled and shook in the way that you don't want elevators to rumble and shake. I grabbed the wooden railing on the side. Gears clanked noisily. The floor vibrated beneath my shoes. We stared at each other, realizing what was happening. Neither of us spoke. Ben finally broke the silence. This
is impossible, he murmured. His words came out in a choked whisper. Where is it taking us? I asked softly, gripping the rail so hard that my hands hurt. It's impossible, Ben repeated. It cannot be happening. Elevators only go up and... The car jolted hard as we came to a very sudden stop. Why is that so surprising? It seems like it'd be easier to make an elevator that goes side to side. Or maybe not easier, but definitely safer, right? I don't know, whatever. Whoa! I let out a cry as my shoulder slammed into the elevator wall. Next time, we're taking the stairs, Ben growled. The door slid open. We peered out into total blackness. It was like a Soulja Boy concert. Are we in the basement? Ben asked, sticking his head out the door. We didn't go down, I replied. A shiver ran down the back of my neck. We didn't go up or down, so we're still on the first floor, Ben finished my sentence. But why is it so dark in here? I can't believe this is happening. We stepped out into the elevator. I waited for my eyes to adjust to the darkness, but they couldn't adjust. It was too dark. That's the worst when your eyes can't adjust. I was at the beach, like, last week, and was in the water and got out and, like, laid down on a towel and put my, like the pit of my elbow over my eyes because the sun was about to set and, like, locked seawater in my eyes. And when I opened my eyes, it was so fucking bright from the sun and it reflecting off the water. So it was like double sun, like Tatooine, and like the salt dried in my eyes that I couldn't see for like 20 minutes. It was crazy. That was a terrible story. Man, I should delete that. That was not interesting to anyone. There must be a light switch, I said. I ran my hand along the wall. I could feel the outline of tiles, but no light switch. I swept both hands up and down the wall. No light switch. Let's get out of here, Ben urged. We don't want to get trapped here. We can't see shit. I was still searching for the light. Okay, I agreed. I lowered my hand and started back to the elevator. I heard the doors slide shut. No, I let out a sharp cry. Ben and I banged on the elevator doors. Then I felt along the wall for the button to open the doors. By the way, this is going to be very useful that he just happens to have a lighter that his grandpa gave him, like no 12-year-old does at school. Panicked, my hand trembled. I swept my open palm along the wall on both sides of the closed doors. No button. No elevator button. I turned and leaned my back against the wall. I was suddenly breathing hard. My heart pounded. I can't believe this is happening, Ben muttered. Would you please stop saying that? I demanded. It is happening. We're here. We don't know where, but we are here. Ugh. Very Taoist mentality. Where are you guys? Here. Where are you going to be later? There. But if we can't call the elevator, how do we get out of here? Ben whined. We'll find our way, I told him. I took a deep breath and held it. I decided I had to be the calm one, since he was being so whiny and scared. I listened hard. I can't hear any music or voices or anything. We must be far away from the gym. Well, what do we do? Ben cried. We can't just stand there. Error. It sounded like I was talking in reverse. We can't just stand here. I don't know why I was going to say there. My mind whirred. I squinted into the darkness, hoping to make out the shape of a door or a window or anything. But the blackness that surrounded us was darker than the sky on a starless night. I pressed my back again, like the slight pause where I was like, come up with a joke. Black joke, pollution joke, astrology, let's just move on. All that happened in the eighth of a second where I paused. I pressed my back against the cool tile wall. I know, I said. We'll keep against the wall. And, Ben whispered, and we'll do what? We'll move along the wall, I continued. We'll move along the wall until we come to a door. A door to a room with a light. Then maybe we'll be able to figure out where we are. Maybe Ben replied. He didn't sound hopeful. Stick close to me, I instructed him. He bumped up against me. Not that close, I said, with a wink that I'm glad he couldn't see in the dark. I couldn't help it. I can't see, he cried. Moving slowly, very slowly, we started walking. I kept my right hand on the wall, sliding it along the tiles as we walked. We'd only taken a few steps when I heard a sound behind me. A cough. That might have been just the scariest moment in any Goosebumps book. They take a rickety old elevator after going through some goddamn boards. It's pitch black. They've been talking out loud. They're going. They're slowly inching their way around, and there's a fucking cough. That's terrifying. Seriously, that's the best Goosebumps moment so far, and I'm on book what? 59 out of 62. I have a few to catch up on, but this one was requested. Still funny. Anyway, a cough. I stopped and turned around. Ben? Was that you? He bumped into me again. Did you cough? I asked softly. No, he replied. I heard another cough. Then, a loud whisper. Ben? I said, grabbing his shoulder. Guess what? We're not alone.
Chapter spooky number 13, so spooky.
We both gasped as the lights came on, dim and gray at first. I blinked several times and waited for the light to brighten, but it didn't. I stared out. We were in a room. No shit, you're not outside. You'd see the moon and shit. A gray classroom. My eyes moved from the black chalkboard to the charcoal-colored teacher's desk to the dark gray students' desks, the pale gray tile walls, then down to the black and gray patterns on the classroom floor. Damn, these kids must have been colorblind, like old Dune. Weird, Ben muttered. My eyes. It's not your eyes, I assured him. The light is so dim. It's one of my favorite Chinese dishes. In this room, it makes everything look gray and black. Oh, never mind. It just looks that way. It's like being in an old black and white movie, Ben declared, squinting into the dim light. We started edging toward the classroom door. Let's get out of here, I suggested, before the lights go out again. We were halfway across the room when I heard another cough, and then a girl's voice rang out. Hey. Ben and I both stopped. We turned as a girl about our age stepped out from behind a book cabinet. Is that like a bookshelf? Or does it have doors on it? Oh, I forgot to look up a parallel elevator because I got a phone call. Parallel elevator. Elevator. Okay, so people have used parallel elevator for things, including Sir Salvatore. But whatever, I'm just saying, you know, it was a thought that I came up with. I'm sure someone else came up with every thought I've ever had. Anyway. She stared at us. We stared back at her. She was kind of cute, with short, straight black hair and bangs across her forehead. She wore an old-fashioned-looking V-neck sweater and a long pleated skirt and black and white saddle shoes. I opened my mouth to say hi, but no sound came out. As I noticed her skin. Her skin was as gray as her sweater, and her eyes were gray, and her lips were gray. That's probably why people gotta paint them with lipsticks so they don't look like a gray-ass alien trying to Independence Day the White House and shit. She was like the room. She was in black and white, too. Ben and I exchanged confused glances. Then I turned back to the girl. She clung to the side of the cabinet, eyeing Ben and me suspiciously. Were you hiding back there? I blurted out. She nodded. We heard you coming, but we didn't know who you were. We? I asked. It wasn't for French listeners. He was saying W-E as in like, we, there's more than one of you. Not just yes. You know, in case anyone listens in France, which I don't think they do. Hey, if you listen in France, hit me up. If you listen in French Canada, fucking mind your own business. Before she could answer, four more kids, two boys and two girls, jumped out from behind the tall cabinet, all gray, all in shades of gray. Ah, great, another children's version of 50 Shades of Gray. "Look at them," one of the boys cried. His eyes bulged as he stared at us. Lots of people have eyes bulging in this book. "I don't believe it," another boy shouted. Before Ben and I could move, they rushed forward. All shouting and crying at once, they stampeded across the room, surrounded us, grabbed us, pulled at our clothes, pulled us, screaming, laughing, shrieking, pulled out my shirt, ripped my sleeve. "Ben," I screamed, "they're going to tear us apart."
Chapter number 14.
"Look, look at this," a girl cried. She held up my shirt sleeve. Two boys tugged at the rest of my shirt. I dropped to the floor, tried to squirm away, but they had us surrounded. A girl pulled off one of my shoes. Ben swung his fist hard, trying to fight them away. His hand smacked the blackboard, and he cried out in pain. "Stop!" I heard a boy shout over the cries of the others. "Stop it and get away from them!"
Their savior.
I kicked out both feet. I saw Ben swing his fist again.
Ben swing his fist again. That's what I should have done. I saw Ben, my friend, swing his fist again, but it was to no end. I wouldn't recommend him swinging his fist at them.
Damn.
Hot fire. Damn. All right.
"Stop it," the boy screamed. "Get away. Come on, stop it."
The kids backed away. The girl dropped my shoe. I grabbed it off the floor. I took several steps back, moving in a line, staring. They took several steps back, moving in a line, staring at us.
"The color," a girl exclaimed. "So much color."
Just like the commercial that came out around this time that was like,
"The colors, Duke, the color."
And the dog was like, "Yo, dude, I'm blind." And somehow that made kids buy popsicles. I don't understand marketing.
"It hurts my eyes," a boy cried. "But it's so beautiful," a girl gushed. It's like a dream."
By the way, this reminds me of the fact that my fiance and one of my best friends wants to spend the money to get those glasses. They apparently have glasses now that correct, not color blindness, where you like see like monochrome, which I don't even know if that's real. I think you see like orange and black or something weird like that. But the color blindness I have, which is pretty significant if you're doing like the comparison pictures. And they're like, "You don't understand how beautiful the world is." And I'm like, I've seen tie-dye shirts. I get it. I've seen a couple flowers here and there, but they're so adamant about it. They want to spend like hundreds of dollars to get me some glasses that apparently make it so colorblind people can finally see how beautiful the world is. But who knows if that'll happen. And I don't think I'll wear them. But then again, if it made the world that much more rad, maybe I would just wear them around looking like a douchebag. I think they look like the weird shaded sunglasses that the old dude from Storage Wars wears. That's very obscure. Whatever.
"Do you still dream in color?" a boy asked her. "My dreams are all in black and white."
Tugging on my shoe, I climbed shakily to my feet. I struggled to straighten my khakis, untuck in my torn, "It's a lot of being together" shirt. Ben rubbed the hand he had smacked. His blonde hair was matted with sweat. His face was bright red.
"Tommy," he whispered, "what's going on?"
"This is crazy." I stared at the five kids lined up in front of us.
"No color," I murmured.
All of them were in black and white. Their clothes, their skin, their eyes, their hair, no color at all. Only shades of gray and black. As I struggled to catch my breath, I studied them and realized they didn't look like modern kids, like kids from our school. The girls all wore skirts, long skirts, down to their ankles. The boys wore big collared sport shirts, tucked into baggy, pleated pants, and occasionally hit the women, as was the style in the day.
Like in an old movie, I thought.
And all black and gray. We all stared at one another for a long while. Then the boy, who seemed to be their leader, spoke up. "We're all sorry," he said. You see, we didn't mean to hurt you. The girl beside him interrupted. It's just that we haven't seen color for so long. I just want to touch it. The girl with black bangs across her forehead added, shaking her head sadly. I wanted to touch the color. It's been so long, so long. That sounds like someone that's like overdosing on MDMA. Did you come to help us? The first boy asked softly, his gray eyes locked on mine. Pleading eyes. Ah, the other girl, Greta, has gray eyes. Maybe that's why she's mean to the other girl that paints her face. Because she's trying to pretend like she isn't a gray kid. We'll find out that dynamic later. Help you? I replied. No, we didn't. You see, that's too bad. The girl with black bangs said, frowning. Huh? Too bad? I didn't understand. Why? I asked. Because, replied the girl. Now you can never leave. And so ends part one of The Haunted School by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Like I said, this was requested to me. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. Feel pretty good about that. What is the plan now? I'm recording more music tomorrow or finishing songs that are started for no reason. It's not like I'm trying to do anything with it. I'll eventually just put it somewhere. Just having fun. And then, gotta do some laundry. That's fun. Me and Gio and Caesar are going to Seattle in a couple weeks. We have a Halloween party at Fred's house coming up. I'm dressing as Guy Fieri. I got from Party City, a fake tattoo sleeve for my arm, but my arm is covered in a full sleeve of tattoos, or both of them, I guess, kind of are. So it's gonna tight, put some tribal ones over it. And, I got some spray on yellow hairspray stuff. I'm stoked. I don't know. Everything's good. I miss my fiance. Life's good. I'm, going to take care of more shit. Until then, stay spooky, bitches.